I'm going to take up some of your questions now, in no particular order, so I'm just going to interact with you on some of the questions, okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for your grace to understand your word. Help us to find special joy in making reference to your word, and even greater joy in obeying it. We pray that you will grant to us wisdom. Bless, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here we go. I understand the dangers of relying on our own understanding in leadership. Okay, especially in a secular world where leadership is associated with social hierarchy. Now, be careful, okay? You cannot practice sonship clearly in a secular world. You'll have you for breakfast. So don't apply things unthinkingly. We are talking about the church. Now, we're saying don't let the world come into the church. That's what we're saying. Don't apply the secular thing over here. Right? So if the person is old enough, he's got to be made leader. They've been there long enough, the person is made leader. Has nothing to do with that. The reasoning is this person is a leader in society, the person is a leader there, why don't we appoint the person? We can't, simply because it doesn't work. That is secular thinking. You understand? Right? So if a person is asked to serve, his person is asked person to serve because one, this person is a true son. This is why in Deuteronomy 17, a person outside the kingdom of God is not allowed ever to be king. He must first be a son of Israel, a son of Abraham. Otherwise, you cannot imagine him being a leader. Cannot. As in forbidden. Okay? This sonship. Now, the second question is brotherhood. Now, when we look at this whole idea of brotherhood here, this is within the church complex. This is how God wanted. That's why the Lord said, you should not be like the Gentiles, where they exercise authority and leadership over all kinds of crazy things. We don't want to do that. Now, it's, however, a different story when you try to apply these things here and you say there is no sonship. The only sonship is the MD son. One month, he is right at the bottom in the mail room. Next month, he's promoted manager. The month after that, he's assistant acting manager already, MD. Why? Because that's what it is. Right? That's not how we know. But the idea of sonship is really quite different. It tells you a relationship with God, with other people. But you cannot apply these things directly into the world. As much as we don't want the world to be a part of the church, neither can we voice our ideas to the secular world and say, do it the way we do it. That would be madness. Right? So you don't want to do the thing here. Now the question is, how do we survive in the world? There are other principles. This is only two. Right? There are many other principles we have not yet learned, have not yet discussed. But we need to look at other things, as we will look at some of those things here. So you mustn't try to apply this concept, it's wonderful, apply to the secular world. This doesn't work. Because the world does not operate on the system of faith in God, trust in God, love for the Lord, love for the Word. These things don't exist. So you cannot apply these things here directly. As far as these two principles are concerned, it won't work. So don't try to do it in the church and then transfer our thing over into the secular world, because it's not. The secular world has its own system, right? And the system is where sometimes you groan, right? Now, this is something, what is it? But we know the system, what it is, because that's the way the world works. The world doesn't know how it works. So if the world, you know, if the person is old enough, the person becomes a leader. If not, he's going to give trouble. So the person gave a small promotion, one way or the other. Otherwise, they're stuck, unfortunately. Right? So it's an old leadership book called, it's called the Peter Principle. It's an old management style thinking. When a person is managed to go all the way up to uselessness, they can promote them up to the point where they're actually useless. The effectiveness is not there. I had a friend of mine, and this fellow was actually the owner of a company. He's a US guy. And he owned this company. But when he became CEO, the company sales dropped. He did the smartest thing, whatever. Now he drives to his office with a Rolls Royce. That's how much he has. You know what he did? He appointed a lady, and this person was the CEO of a huge company, and appointed her, okay, you'll be my CEO, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to my sales line. He's a very good salesman. So technically, he owns it, but somebody else runs it. So he can still keep his Rolls Royce. And he's happy doing sales work. He still reports to the bosses, but they all know that he owns it. See, that's wisdom. You must go to wherever you are best at. Right? One day I saw a man, the same principle, you know. This fellow is very good at chopping ducks. He can cut a cucumber and take orders and don't cut his hand. And he'll take several orders at one time. So I said, wow, you are a big person here. Are you the boss? He said, no, I'm only a worker. He said, how many ducks do you cut one night? 200. Is he serious? He said, yes. Who's the boss? That fellow. Are you serious? He just wipes tables, you know. It doesn't matter if he wipes tables because this guy is the big boss. But he knows he cannot chop. His fingers will be gone. And he knows it. So we all, in the secular world, we all recognize it. So don't try and apply biblical system into the world system and criticize them. You're going to chop you alive. So don't do that. Okay? You learn to take a deep breath and move on. Okay? That's another principle. All right. Which we are not talking about, so don't worry about it too much. All right, now that's something that we want to consider. So don't be unwise in the application of it, okay? Now we just want to make sure that our church is preserved on the right lines. Okay, how do we apply the idea of sonship described in Hebrews 2, okay? And then dissolve the hierarchical division and uphold brotherhood in Philippians. Actually, there is no hierarchy in that sense. Just because a person is called a pastor, he's not hierarchy. Right? Do you know what the word hierarchy comes from? You know what it is? It really comes from the word priest. A hierarchy is from the word priest, hierus. Right? So what is a hierus? Now, we all recognize the hierus concept is the concept of a priest. And in that system, there is an order. There is what we call the high priest. And all the rest are just simply priests. And all the rest are called Levites. Right? So there is another group called the Nethinim. Even lower than the Levites. The Nethinim are mentioned in the book of Ezra, the book of Nehemiah. They call it Nethinim. The Nethinim people are basically people who have consecrated themselves to serving the Lord in the temple. But they don't come from the line of Aaron, right? So they don't come, therefore this is the priestly line. And then the Levites is actually from there as well, and they are assistant. So they are assistant to the assistant to the assistant to the assistant to the chief. But you know what? Nobody minds. You want to be the high priest? You can take it. You have no idea how responsibilities there are to it. So you mustn't think that this person is having a wonderful golden thing here. No, it's not. The responsibilities will just wear you out. The question is how to understand it. So a hierarchy is actually a priestly word. And this is ordered by God. So the hierarchy really comes from God. Right? So why do we worry about this hierarchy? Is there brotherhood in a hierarchy? Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? This is something that is important. So we want to appoint Simon Nagaraj as the senior pastor of Bethany. Yes. And then you realize, wow, this is serious stuff. Now, I hope you understand. So we have to think about what it means. So then you'll be writing the book of Joel next. So after Hosea, please write a book of Joel. And, wow, that is very serious stuff. Now, how are you going to be able to do it? See, you have to think in terms of all the challenges which are there. So the hierarchy position, this person is literally groomed for it, taught. So this is God's order of doing things. But at the same time, remember, the brotherhood always exists at all times. No matter what, the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, He is Master, but He is also, He will serve them. He calls them friends. So they exactly exist at the same time. Very much depends upon our heart, our soul. If we feel that we are above everybody, it's already something wrong. Right? But there are many, many things about the work of a high priest that a lot of people don't realize. Right? I mean, let's say the high priest's work is to stand between the living and the dead. What would you do? If everything depends upon your leadership, whether God will bless or will not bless, and you are the key person who will bring the blessing, what would you do? Tell me. How would you teach? 46 years of teaching the Lord's word. 46 years of teaching the Lord's word. What would you teach? You think that senior person, pastor rate comes just like that? Because I'm oldest? Because I'm the most senior? Really? There has to be that knowledge. And you have to be as familiar with Revelation as Deuteronomy. You have to be able to understand Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. You think it comes easily? Go ahead. Tell me. Next year's family camp from Isaiah, where would you start from? There's 66 chapters. How would you lead? Every month's theme changed. Every 2 months we change theme. What theme? What would you say? How would you choose? Try it. How would you choose? We celebrate Christmas once again. What's the theme this year? Tell me. What do you think that is? We begin 47th year. On what note? How would you go about doing it? So in God's wisdom, the system comes from the Lord. The hierarchical system is actually a word that comes from the priestly system. The king cannot do it. King Uzziah tried. And they were told by the priests, it is not for you, not for the kings to offer incense to God. And he was disciplined, chastened with leprosy. You want to risk that judgment from the Lord? I wouldn't. I wouldn't dare. So it's not as easy or straightforward as you imagine. Right? See, the Levites try to say, why are we only assistant priests? We are doing as much work as the priests. We read in the book of Numbers, the sons of Korah. They're not happy that they're sons of Korah. They're not happy. They're not Aaronic aligned. We're not happy. And the Lord had to discipline them. And they paid with their lives. The hierarchy cannot be dismantled. One day soon, the Lord will call me home. whoever takes my place will have a real huge challenge. You're not only going to lead Bethany, you're going to lead the entire IPC family. Who will take over? It does not come with seniority. It comes with anointing. And with the anointing comes the energy, the wisdom, the power, the understanding, and the blessing. Take it seriously. You think it's just a position? You think it's just a title? Think again. This is God's order. How do we practice brotherhood? We practice it from our heart. Right? Brotherhood is playing with little Noah. Even though he just might scream sometimes. Right? Brotherhood is seeing little Daniel and he says, "Pastor." And you know, it doesn't matter how he says it. Right? He at least recognizes. And it's relating. It's practice of brotherhood right from the start. And it's not easy. But you know, this is just, it must come from you. Now, that's what we want to do. So it's not something that you want to take on easily. And who would be the next person? We frankly, the Lord will have to anoint and we will all have to recognize. So brotherhood and hierarchy is something that we need to practice at the same time. See, this is absolutely important. Unfortunately, in some system, say the Baptist system, the pastor is just simply the hired gun. And so the sheep will tell the pastor what to do, and he's given a contract to serve there for a few years, and that's it. And if they don't like him, he's fired. It's not how it works. But that's what is done. To the people who control it are the people who are there and they play games with it. If leadership plays games with the Lord's work, you are in serious danger of being judged by God. And yet a pastor cannot simply say, "I'm the senior pastor, I do whatever I want." You can't. The Lord is the Father. The Lord is the Lord. And we have to understand where he's leading, how he's leading. You have to be super sensitive to the Lord's leading. And if you're not sensitive to the Lord's leading, you can never lead effectively. This is the anointing of the Lord. Right? So you pick up on little things on the use of the articles, the personal pronouns, and little things like that. You think we all study the same Greek text. We don't always see the same things. It's part of the work. Right? So don't be upset with hierarchy. Right? So if you think that anybody wants to become that, that's something. Think about it very, very carefully. Responsibility is huge. Think about it very, very carefully, right? Here we go. In Matthew chapter 8, 5 to 9, Jesus met a centurion who told him not necessary for Jesus to come to his home to heal his servant because he was a man under authority. His orders are to be obeyed instantly. My question is this being sent? Not really. This whole thing is not about being sent. The whole context of this particular story is about faith, not about sent. Right? Now, let's take a look at this again. Let's look at Matthew 8 so that we can get a picture of it all. And this is really, really interesting to see in chapter 8, looking at verses 5 to 9. Okay? And so Jesus entering into Capernaum, and came to him. And so this is something. Well, let's take a look at Matthew 8, shall we? Let's take a look very, very carefully. Right? And we'll see this. So the centurion came to him. Now, you must understand how a person becomes a centurion. You mustn't think that this centurion is a small fry, okay? This person has gone through the ranks. This person has fought in battles. This person has killed people. This person, his chances are, he's been injured along the way many times. But he proves himself steady, solid, dependable, faithful, loyal, courageous, you name it. And he's recognized on the field by all his soldiers. And his appointment comes from the general. That is a centurion. Right? In a war situation, when a centurion gives an order, nobody asks, what do you mean? Can I do it another way? You die. Literally. Or you are physically punished. You don't question your orders because this person knows what he is doing. This person is a battle-hardened. You do not go to officer school and then be a promoted centurion straight away. That's not how it works. Right? You are trained. You go through the ropes and then you become what you are. That is important. Now, so he's a man under authority. Now, what stands out as Jesus spoke to him was this man is pretty amazing. Right? But let's take a look at his faith. First and foremost, he is a Gentile. Okay? No, he's not gentle, okay? He's a Gentile. The Americans call it a gentle because they use a missile, gentle. But he's not gentle as in gentle kind of a thing here. Right? And so he is. And he knows this. He has lived in Israel for some time. Israel was one of the hardest areas to control and maintain law and order. You need a tough centurion to do that. You really do. Most of the Jews hate the centurions, hate the Roman soldiers, because they are really wicked people, some of them. And they will bully you. They will arrest you for no reason. They will extort money from you, name it. So sometimes you say, go the second mile. You know where it came from? Roman ideas. This guy wants to walk. And he says, oi, carry my bag. You know what? You're going to carry his bag. Or you're going to be seriously injured. So the Lord Jesus tells him, take whatever he asks you to do it. Tell him, I'll go the second mile for you. Actually, it's a Roman soldier idea. It's the second mile. Right? See, this Roman soldier, this one was very different. First, he understands authority. He knows his soldiers obey him. He understands what authority is. The challenging thing is his faith enabled him to understand authority and apply it to Jesus. I'm a centurion. You are the Christ. Is there a balance somewhere? Okay, I'm under orders, you have authority. He can transfer authority to Jesus. You just say, I tell my men, they listen. Imagine that. Where is it? Just a word. I say the word, go, and they go. I say the word, come, and they come. Jesus, just say the word. And my servant will be healed. Wow. Now that is an interesting idea. See, he can apply the word. That is faith. Faith is the ability to apply knowledge, understanding. Right? Two, go on further. He knew that he was Gentile. This was a Jew. No Jew will ever go to a home of a Gentile. Otherwise, they are classified as unclean. You will defile yourself if you go to a home of a Gentile. And he accepted that humbly. If you come to my house, you will be considered defiled. No need to come to my house. Look at his humility that is there. See, that's what faith is. Faith is looking at ourselves and recognize that we are nothing. And just say the word. That's enough. You know what Jesus said about him? In all of Israel, I have not found such great faith. This is faith. It's not about being sent. It's about faith. And it is a wonderful thing to take note of. That's what we want to understand and appreciate. Okay? Right, we want further. The concept of sonship reflects the son's full obedience to the father, among other things. This is understandable between God and us. For human spiritual leaders, being imperfect, there may be times when they are wrong. Yes. Please go up and tell the person, you are wrong. You know, you button your shirt, one button missing. Go ahead and tell the person. It's all right. Right? But if you think the person is wrong, why don't you go up to the person and tell the person? Not tell the person off. Just tell the person. Right? So here comes Stanley. When he first came to church, he doesn't like our music. He thinks we are not really singing because he's used to rock band. He plays the blues guitar. So there we go. That's him. Now, he's changed. Wonderfully so. I didn't change. You changed. That is important. I hope you understand. Because then we understand, wow, the Word of God has come alive to you now. Then you learn to treasure the Lord's Word. Then you understand, that's how it must be. So it's all right if you don't like our music. It's all right if you, well, I don't like whatever it is. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. But you know what? We will tell you, explain to you why we do what we do. And then it's for you to adjust. If you can adjust happily, fine, we have gained a brother. But if we have not, it's okay. Your space will be taken up by somebody else. It's how bad it gets, you see? But if you want to stay on, you're a blessing. You bring other people. So Benny and Cheryl come along. Well, we're glad for you. Otherwise, you have gone. Is that what I'm trying to say? So there will be times when we may have some difficulties along the way. But talk to the person. By all means, right? You can tell the person, but not tell the person off. That's the difference. Just little word off. And you're off. Well, that's what we want to do. We, by all means, feel free to talk to the person. But nothing. How should an appropriate response be when we feel that our advice from our leaders are incorrect? Tell us where the incorrectness is. But you must be able to prove that they are really incorrect. Right? You don't like a particular theme. Well, go ahead, tell us why you don't like the particular theme. It's all right. Okay, so you want to tell us, please tell us specifically, we will be happy to listen. On any issue, you know, you really don't like it, but I understand this. You want my hair to be permed. And I say, no. So I will tell you, no, thank you, no matter how you advise. So there are certain things which are personal, certain things which are doctrinal. Okay, you've got to distinguish. If they're personal things, you can keep your opinion. Right? But when it comes to doctrinal things, we take pride in making sure that what we teach and what we preach are from the Lord's Word. And anybody who has come out of the pulpit will know when I go through their work how much I will tell you to pay attention to the actual understanding of the Lord's Word. It doesn't matter who the person may be. Even if the person is, you know, a pastor from overseas, whether it's from India, from Myanmar, or from Australia, it doesn't matter. We are all committed to the truth. And if I tell you you're wrong, I will show you where you're wrong, exactly, precisely, and get it right. Because my commitment is for you to get it right. Because then the Lord can bless. But you get it wrong. There is no way in which we can get the Lord's blessing if we do it wrongly. That's our commitment. Right? So that is where we are. But so don't feel that we are infallible. Far from it. We learn. There are lots of things that we cannot do. We recognize that. Right? So thank God for people who help to interpret the messages in Mandarin. Thank God for their gifts. Thank God for the translators in Hong Songs in the Night. I could never do that. So Pastor Bhaskaran is going to translate a book of Jude into Tamil. I could never do that. I don't even know how to write Vanakkam. But you see, I mean, that's how it is. So we want to recognize different gifts from different people, and that is absolutely fine. So we learn how to understand and appreciate all the challenges which are there. Okay, well, let's go up to the next hour or so, and then we will conclude very, very much. And this is session three now, and we talk about this whole idea of practical leadership. And we're going to talk about what we call lay leadership. Now, why I used the word apostle just now in what we call a special usage? Okay? It's actually based upon a special word. Just now I mentioned to you, it's called a leitugos. The leitugos concept of service, we call what we call an orderly service. It's another way of looking at it. Because this word is actually made up of two words. Okay? And the first word is called a Laos word, not Laos as in Laotian people. But this is a Greek word for literally it means people. Translated in English, the lay people. Right? So this is a person who is who puts in energy. Ergon is the word work. So you combine these two words here, lay work. That is what Epaphroditus was actually doing. He was probably an outstanding lay leader, a leitugos. Right? That is a lay. In other words, he is almost like an apostle, even though he served in a way. He certainly didn't take leave from his regular job to go look after Paul. You can't do that. But he is a lay leader, an outstanding one. That is a leitugos. Right? So how do we understand this? How do we do it? So that is what we want to talk about. And this is what about lay leadership. And lay leadership means to say that you are going to be where you are, to serve the Lord in your capacity as a part of laity. Right? So this need to explain some of the words, because called the word is laity. Right? So the laity is distinguished from the people who serve as pastors. Right? So these are the pastors, and this is what we call, so we call lay people. Not lazy people, just lay people. And their laity, it's from the Greek word, meaning to say the person in the pew, at the congregation, because you got a regular job out there. You're not serving the Lord in a full-time ministry, but that's what it is. So become a lay leader or a lay preacher or whatever. The former chairman of Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, before he retired, Mr. Green was his name. What do you think he was doing at the weekend? He's chairman, global chairman of HSBC. Every weekend, Mr. Green is a lay preacher. He goes to churches and he preaches the Lord's word. That's what he loves to do. Now that is no small thing. All right? So he sits on a board. Hong Kong Shanghai Bank is one of the top 10 largest banks in the world. And there he is a lay preacher. Now that tells you something about involvement of laity. Right? So this is what we are looking at. And this is important for us to look at. Okay. Now, what is the context of the spiritual leadership? Now, Bethany is led by a group of people we call the session. They're called session members. Right? Same with all the with Australia, India, not really yet, because you do pastoral leadership, basically. You need people to be of certain caliber before we can, you know. Right? So Pastor Chris, two of his older members, will step down. In June or in September, 2 weeks' time, they will cease to function as session members. So both of us are going to lead the church, who become like India. So we will lead by committees, but not by session. Two of us will form the session. That happens. Right? By next year, February, when we have our ACM, the bulk of the entire session will step down. Right? We will look for new leaders. They have served the Lord honorably for many, many years. From here onwards, all session members will serve maximum 3 terms. 3 years, 3 years, 3 years, 9 years. That's it. After which another set of leaders will be found. So we are constantly searching for new leaders for good reason. We must. Right? We must find them, because you cannot have, you know, they're older and they deserve a little bit of time on their own. Serving the Lord and such members is no joke. It's a lot of responsibility on the shoulders of everybody. Right? We can't let them all go together, of course. We're going to retain essential ones. Right? The financial part, essential. George, essential. Right? So essentially, the entire session will be thank God for their service, and I honor them for the way they have served. But we are looking for all the time. That's why we want to share with you these principles. First, do we understand sonship? Two, do we understand brotherhood? Now, those are the principles that we start with. So I'm telling you very openly, no need for any rumors behind. There's nothing. Nobody's been kicked out. We all understand that this is nobody's been axed. This one's been arrowed. This one has been shot at. Nobody, this one is crucified. This one is beheaded. There is no such thing. We will serve the Lord honorably, and we will also step down honorably. That is how we should be. Same thing, that's why we also tell people very, very openly, very frankly, that this is going to happen. When you come to a certain age, we all, and it is good for a renewal process. That's why we have all the generals. Casey won't last very long more, so he is going to step down too. The next general, somebody else going to take over. You have to have this. And that is normal. And so this gives us a challenge to all church members. Will I be the one who will be asked to serve the Lord in a capacity as a session member? Okay, now please understand, so we need this brotherhood thing going for us. We need this sonship thing going for us. Otherwise, we're going to take pot shots at each other. And when that happens, the whole church is going to be affected. That is not what we want to do. And so we talk about lay leadership, as we must. Okay? It's a liturgos concept expanded. Right? So we have leaders mentioned. Are lay leaders part of the church understanding? Yes. We see that exemplified. Page 10. In the book of Acts, these are the things that we are looking for. Look, these are the things. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 6. Okay, so that is important for us to understand, right? So please, sometimes people say, hey, what's a real story? What's behind? There is no real story or bluff story. This is the story. That's it. So is there something beneath? No. Right? We don't work on these things here. I mean, this is something that we want to understand. And this is, so Acts chapter 6, look at 1 to 7. What are the things that we should look for? Verse 3, we are told, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation. So we need you to be good reputation people. right? So if you are out there and we see you at Collyer Quay, somebody mentioned Collyer Quay down there, and the person walks very unsteadily on the feet there, and the person is put up as deacon, you have every right to object. I saw the person there. How do you know? I was there. Then we have two disqualified people immediately. I mean, very obviously. So I hope you understand this. We cannot afford this. We need people of good reputation. Your reputation will affect the church. Absolutely. So you really, really have to be very, very careful about that. Okay, now we go on further. And then we read, full of the Holy Spirit. Right? And full of the Holy Spirit will tell you what we are looking at. You need to be Spirit-filled. You need to be Spirit-led. You're not led by a different kind of spirit, you know, a Collyer Quay kind of spirit. So we don't want to do that. This is absolutely important for us. Then we go on talk about full of wisdom. You need that wisdom. Right? Because we are going to make decisions, a lot of decisions, which are going to be made. For example, we have this Korean young man who's been coming to our youth conference for many, many years now. To him, his favorite country is Singapore. And why? Because Bethany is here. Now, he has written, and his father has written three times, is it possible you train my son? He wants to be a missionary. And I cannot think of a better place for him to train as a missionary than to be here. Okay, that seems like a simple request. Now, the challenge would be, now, we could look for accommodation. We got to pay him something. We cannot tell him to live on love and fresh air. Right? Now, the question is, now, what do we do? How do we provide? Now, what's the answer? Wisdom must teach us. What's the answer? Wait, tomorrow I will tell you the answer. You're going to be at the shank, then I will tell you the answer. You're going to tell me now? No. Wisdom. Then you can wait. Anticipation. What's the answer? What's the answer? Well, we will see the many, many things. We're full of wisdom. Okay? Don't get distracted. Just stay on. Full of faith. We want people to be full of faith so that we will see that this is a work that will keep on growing and expanding. Small faith will never see us grow further. So when we were at 20 Jalan Lakum, that was a measure of our faith. When we came to 301 Bethany 2, that was the measure of our faith. And in less than 10 years, we outgrew that big building, five-story building. That was the measure of our faith, Bethany 3. And in less than 10 years again, we grew out of where we were, and we go into Bethany 4, full of faith. Now, that is a lot of money put in. It's over $40 million put in. And I'm not talking 40 million rupees. We're not talking 40 million Myanmar chiat. That's nothing. Full of faith, courage, confidence, God will provide. God has provided. We are looking for people, not just people with a lot of ideas as to let's do this, let's do that. We're not interested in ideas. We're interested in faith, wisdom, full of the Spirit kind of people. That is what we are looking at. And they have, in 1 Timothy 3, attested. Their lives are attested. They are proven. And if they are not proven, come. Right? So we search for leaders. And this is the search. Of course, it's praying for every single person. Lord, is this person? Is this person? Is this person? Then what's one? Two, shared tasks. You must be involved. Who are the leaders? You put up your names. And we have to literally bring before the Lord who is the one whom you want to help lead the church. Right? This is important. Why? For the growth of the church. Bethany must not stop growing. The day we stop growing, we begin to die. Growth is a part of life. Right? So this is where we go. Now, let's talk about this very, very carefully. Please understand, not all are called to leadership. Not all are called to serve in that capacity. Right? So you mustn't think that, you know, I'm known of one particular church. Every time they have ACM, they purposely don't want to turn up. Why? Because they're afraid they'll be appointed. And they say, Pastor, you know, appointment for life, you know. It's like a life imprisonment, like a sentence like that, unfortunately. And so the church never grew. It was many years ago, that strength. Many years later, there's still that strength. At one of the concerts, Easter, person said to me, Pastor, thank you for letting me come to this concert. I always want to come. So I belong to one of the churches that you know about. You used to speak at my church a long time ago. Well, how's your church? How many people you have? The same number that I understood was there at a time when I spoke there 30 years ago. It never grew. Right? Our choir was bigger than the church. They say, wow, you got such a big choir. This is our church the same size. And it never grew. Church must grow. It must continue to grow all the time. But not everybody is going to be called to serve as leaders. Absolutely important. Right? So there will be changes along the way. Along the way for next year, as we look at these things here. We're going to expand the work. God willing. You see, right now there's a lot of preponderance of men. We need ladies. Because ladies don't talk to men about all their personal problems. They all wear very polite things. We need ladies to minister to ladies at a deeper level. May God raise them up. But they are going to be lay leaders. We're not going to ordain women, okay? So ladies, if you want to serve the Lord, you're never going to be ordained. I must tell you ahead of time. But I'm not ordained. I cannot be called the Reverend. No, sorry. That's how it is. Reverend Dene, no way. It is not going to happen. So I better tell you ahead of time first. Should you want to serve the Lord, it's not going to happen. Okay? And please don't send your parents to me. And they ask you, how come you never endured my daughter? Not going to happen. Okay? We just want to obey the Lord's word. That's how we're going to work. Okay? This is what it is. Okay, now what are we going to... See, in chapter 12 and verse 8, we are told, remember we talk about the idea of histemi, proistemi, the person who leads, the person must do it with diligence. Leadership is a gift, not only pastoral leadership, it's just simply leadership. How do you know you'll become a good leader? The word here is the word diligence. How do you know whether you're diligent? You can see yourself whether you're diligent in your own life or not. You can tell. Right? Diligence is a part of you. You are that diligent person. That is how it works. So it really flows from your personal life. It's not, I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to be there on Sunday. I'm going to be very, very diligent. And then on Monday, I need to relax. I did a whole week. And the next Sunday, come up again. It's not going to work. It's going to be diligent all the way through. All right, so we take a look at what are the things that we want to challenge you to look at very, 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 very importantly. And key word is your faith. So if you don't know your faith well, how are you going to lead? How are you going to lead without that faith? You need a personal faith. And Hebrews 11 tells us the practice of faith in the most wonderful way. Right? That's what we wanted. What is what we are looking for? This is something that we don't want to take for granted. So the cultivation of faith is something that we want to encourage people. Every Sunday message is a message of faith and development and encouragement of faith. We will not attempt less. And that's what we want to do. And I'm glad those who are stepping down and saying, we can see so many younger ones already ready, waiting in the wings, ready to serve, to step up to serve. Yes, thank God for that. There must be the constant. So even as they serve for the next 9 years, if they will make it for the first 3 years first, and then after that, we go on further. In the meantime, leaders are being constantly groomed all the time. This becomes a new dynamism of the church. Can you see this? The dynamism must always be there all the time. Doesn't stop. Right? So Uncle KK wrote to me and he said, thank you for looking after Ben. We saw the photographs when Ben four. You see the video yet, Ben? You see how young you're looking and how much more matured you look. You look better now. Right? You must show him the video there. It's really nicely matured out. Very, very good looking. Even better looking. Where are you, Shu? Wow. You got a, like it's a, wow. This one is more, even more dignified. Well, last time, hair all over the place still. Now, wow, properly groomed. That's the way to go. So I was telling the father, hey, you don't stop. You can't stop right now. You got to go on further. There will be a special ordination prayer made for them. I wrote a poem for them. It will become the bulk of the focus of their prayer. It's not just a spontaneous prayer, but it was also a planned prayer. That is based on Isaiah 32:2. A man will be a hiding place from the wind. That's so important. And a cover from the tempest. As rivers of living water in a dry place. Can you see this? The shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That is a tall order. That's what we want them to be. And that's the challenge of it all. And it is not an easy thing to rise up to this task. But they need the support. I am not looking at myself. If you do not want to elect me again, that's fine. I've done my part. I'm not worried about that. I just want to leave behind a legacy of a church like Philippians I love with all my heart. You are not a Corinthian church filled with problems. You're not a Galatian church that makes me angry. You're not a church riddled with problems like Colossae. You're a church close to my heart. Philippians. So Bethany was built with Philippians in mind. There's a web of relationship that extends from children to younger ones, to older ones, to grandparents. But we need lay leaders to be there. Leaders who share the same faith with us. We are fellow soldiers. We are fellow workers. We are serving the Lord together, and we need this. But we need your life to be tested. We need you to be steady. We need your faith to be well-founded. And if you can be that, then perhaps God will raise you to be the next leader. But remember, we cannot have everybody a leader and nobody to lead. obviously. You know, thank God for others, and they are not here at this leadership retreat. And they tell me, Pastor, I cannot do many of those things. But it was a very special moment of fellowship and friendship. And the person says to me, but you know my heart. I'm here for you. I will explain that further tomorrow at Shangri-La. Not everybody needs to be a leader sitting in a session. You must understand this. We all can be there for each other. That's what we want to do, right? But you have to ask yourself, what is it? So your faith, your personal life, and then finally, this is what I want to help you to discover. Your spiritual gift. What is your gift to the church? And there is a lot of gift. Look at the book of Romans. You have a list of gifts which the Lord has actually given to you. It's not the exhaustive list, but at least a working list. Look at this. Right? Verse 6. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. I have a list of names people have given, and I will make use of the list of names given by the outgoing session members. And I will study them, and I will pray, and I will watch and see, and I will be contacting you. Of course. But I will tell you that what I'm looking for, I'm also looking for people who are gifted. Look at this giftedness that is there. Verse 6, right? Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. All of us will have different gifts. What is it? Let's rule out prophecy, it's no more there. But ministry, humble ministry, is a gift in itself. Right? Now, obviously, we cannot have all the people who love the Lord, they're all related to Ben Chong and Ben Kwa. We all sung. This will be a family affair. We can't. That's going to end up with a lot of vested interests. So this is absolutely important. Right? So we want to be very, very sure of these things here, but it must be according to giftedness. He who teaches, some of us are gifted in the area of teaching, which means to say you have vast knowledge and wisdom. The gift of teaching comes with knowledge. Not very many people have such a gift. Not many. Very few is the word. Right? But let a person teach them. If that is your gift, you must do what you must do with that gift. He who exhorts. There's some people who are just very uplifting. There's some people who are just wet blankets. Every time you step in there, you feel very depressed. Getting people feeling depressed is not a gift, okay? I'm very gifted at making people feel very, very uncomfortable. That is not a gift. But exhortation is. And this is a very, very special gift. Okay, now we go on further. He who gives with liberality. So if there is a gift, then please, I'm not asking you to sell your house, okay? Then you live in a bus stop. What happened? I give it all to Bethany. We will not take that gift, I will tell you first. Okay, but if you are able to, right? You just bought a new Mercedes and you ask for sponsorship to come to Shangri-La. We are not going to give that to you. Because you just drove into it with a new 250 and you expect, yeah, but that's why I need sponsorship. Because I... Not going to happen. I hope you understand. The liberality, we will give as we are able to, and we will give it freely. They're just deeply touched that people will give the way they do. All right? Then we talk about this. Okay? And he who leads, there we go. Leading is a gift too. Leadership is a gift. But do it with diligence. You cannot but exercise diligence in everything you do. That's part of our whole understanding. Let me go on further. Right? He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. If you are in a position where you can exercise mercy, don't do it grudgingly. Now, that is a position that's really interesting. Whatever the case may be, verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. In everything, there must be no hypocrisy in what in our hearts, in what we're saying, in what we are doing. Right? So this is where the love of the Lord comes in. And I want us all to think about these things here. Okay? Please do not need to ask, what do you think? What's the real reason? What's the real reason behind? There is no real reason or other reason. It's just simply what it is. We are going to embark on these things here. And it's going to be a new attempt at looking at reviving the whole idea of dynamic relationship. Every 9 years, a new cycle. We need that. And that would be wonderful. Right? So constantly we're looking for leaders. We're grooming them all the time in the hope that one day, one of this group of people we are training, becoming disciple, will step up and lead and bless the church. Constantly. That is important. You see, at the bilingual worship service, so we began with all the older speakers, translators. Then I said, nope, let's change that. See, changes will take place. So we get younger people coming up. And then they lead marvelously. They lead only with reference to the chairman. Then after a while, they're moving on to interpreting full message. Now, that's what we mean. The changes have taken place. That's what we want to do. All the time, you must understand, Bethany is always on the cutting edge of changing for the better, of a dynamic movement, all the time. Right? From a single pastor to Mao, and now we have a whole team of people. More than that, in time to come, we groom a group of lay leaders as well. This is all there to consider. But we need the right people. We need people of faith. People whose lives and characters will be, when tested, they would not be found wanting. This is what we want to do, right? Which means to say that at this point of time, all those of you who are still in university or just started working, you are excluded, right? You cannot have a person, first year university, the person is made a church leader. Are you serious? Who's going to listen? I know some churches do that. 15 years old, go out and preach already. What can they say? Nothing much. We're not going to do that. But we want to say to you, look at 9 years from today, 10 years from today. Where would you be? Leadership starts now. And in 10 years' time, God may yet call you. And once this cycle, this mind is in a mindset to be, we are not going to choose you because you are a lawyer or a doctor or a millionaire or the whatever. That is not in our consideration. I had one person who came up to me years ago. And he, two things he did, which I remember. One, he came to my house. I was not well then. He came to my house, drove over, and he presented me a check. He says, Pastor, this is for you, to you, to wish you well, to get well. And it was a five-figure check. And I say, what are you doing? One, I don't take money like this from anybody in church. Okay? And I'm not going to start now. Thank you very much. Then a wife later on came to ask me, he really wants to serve in your church. He's not even a member. He wants to come in and he thinks that if he gives money, then maybe he will be asked to become a leader. This is what once we read in the scriptures, your money perish with you. So we then began Bethany 3. He said to me, Pastor, don't do this. Because older pastors, and they are cited by name, they would not even dare to do this. You're going to have a big hole, and that's it. You don't have the money. I don't have the money, but I have the faith. Well, this is Bethany 4 now. What happened to this person? Truly, he perished. He died of a heart attack along the way. Don't attempt God's work in your own way. Please don't. This is something that we want to look at. And I want to say, this person is not a church member. You don't know the person. But I had to write a strong letter of rebuke to him one day and his friend. And I said, you will not come into our church with all your fancy ideas about what you think is the truth. They were trying to tell me that the theology of Peter is different from the theology of Paul. They clash very badly. I must have missed some reading along the way for you to come and tell me that that's true. And I would say, no, thank you. You are not welcome to our church. Don't even talk about leadership. See, can't. That's what we're looking at, and this is absolutely important. We're looking for people who love the Lord and who love Bethany, love His people. And if we don't love the people, we don't know the people, we don't relate to people, you cannot lead the church. You know, I was telling SSS4, Kok Nyang is one of us. We must all be there for him. Everyone in SS4 turn up. Even those who do not regularly turn up for memorial services, everyone turn up. That is a love for Kok Nyang, for Isabel, for Joy, for the family. That's what it means. As we will always love you like that. That's what it means. Right? This is important for us. We want people to love the Lord, to love the church first and foremost. That's absolutely important. Two, we want people truly who understand wisdom, the ministry of the church. There are many demands. The greatest danger is to have new leaders, and they always say, new broom sweep clean. And they start sweeping all over the place. And all they do is they create dust. It's not necessarily cleaner, just more dusty. And we have enough dust for next door. We don't need more dust. We don't want people to say, we must change this, we must do that, we must do this. How about a rock band? How about psychedelic lights? How about this? Then we have a great singer, we have a stage light, we have these things here. Only after I'm dead, okay? Over my dead body. It's not going to happen. We will honor the Lord. We will worship Him. This is something that I want to tell you right ahead of time. There must be understanding. There must be wisdom. You know what we want to tell you? We want you to be an inspiration. We want you to be there to inspire people. They want you to, they want to be there because you are such an inspiration. That is what we are looking for. And thank God for that possibility. Right? Think about this. I teach SSS4. That's my class. And I just want to tell you, this whole retreat program is sponsored by SSS4. Why? Because that's what we want to be. We love the Lord. We love the church. Not everybody is here from SSS4. That everybody's heart is here. Because they love the Lord. And they love the church. So the entire thing is sponsored. All the meals are taken care of. This is how we want to do it. That's how it should be. Right? So most of the retreats, you always have to pay something. Not this one. Because this is out of SSS4. And, you know, they are just so happy to do their part. And this is go ahead. And we'll do whatever we can to support. This is what we want to see. To be that inspiration for the Lord to each other. Right? Now, I just hope that you will understand where I'm coming from. Remember, these are only two principles, okay? You mustn't think that, okay, two principles, enough to lead the church. Oh, no. No, lots more. There are lots more principles that I will tell you when we can find again the time, and then we will look at these things here. And we just want to do our part in preparing, grooming, gearing ourselves towards the future leaders of leadership of Bethany, and it comes from you. It's member is not a title. The session member is not a title in itself. It's you. And thank God for those who have gone ahead of us, that there must be always be others. If we do not raise up others, we have failed. There must always be others who love the Lord, who care for the Lord's work. Like Paul said, no one like-minded who will care for the work, who will worry about the church the way I worry about the church. That's what it means. We're looking for such people who would love the Lord, who love the IPC family, and we could be there. That's what we want to do. Okay? Think about these things here. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to pursue these concepts of leadership, to begin with sonship, to understand brotherhood, to cultivate practical things, understanding, wisdom, faith, life. We pray that you will raise up leaders in time to come. We pray that you constantly raise up people who will love you and serve you and honor all that you have done over the years in our church. Help us to recognize your hand leading, guiding each step of the way. And help us to honor you for the wonderful God that you are. We ask you to bless. And we pray that the words that we have studied, the lessons that have impacted our hearts will remain with us. And we will constantly look for and pray for leaders to arise from our hearts, from our midst. We pray that you would bless in Jesus' name. Amen.